Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson North, I-29 and Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
You know, we as a country stare in the face of what could be a very difficult few weeks. And I wonder how that may shape the thinking of all sports organizations moving forward. That's first and foremost, because what we have seen is how rapidly the circumstances in our country can change on a day-to-day basis.
I think because of what we've seen with Tua on the film, we know that he's the better quarterback, or the best quarterback of the three for me, when you look at his totality and the body of work.
The injury thing, you can't ignore it. And the fact he's had four or five surgeries, I know we reported four, my sources tell me five surgeries that this young man's had. And if you get hurt in college, you're going to get hurt in the NFL. I mean, I get it what Dan's saying. If this guy hits, you're going to get fired. Well, I got news for you. If he doesn't hit and he ends up in the training room every single week, you're getting fired also.
And now, ready for the Walk It Back Tour, since he can't run anymore. Get it? Seren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us here on a very busy day. We've got Chiefs news galore as Sammy Watkins is back, and they're going to run it back. Is that it? Is that the new shtick that we're gonna be hearing everybody talk about now? Run it back?
That's what his hashtag was, Run It Back Tour.
The Run It Back Tour. Listen, I got to be honest, and we will start right here with this subject. I got to be honest, I am stunned at this deal, right? I always say I won't be stunned. You know, I'll be surprised. I don't think it's going to happen. I am stunned that this deal came down the way it did. 1 year, basically $9 million with the likely to be earned salary, the $62,500. Of course, if you do the quick math, you'll get to a million. That's $1 million if he plays 16 games. So just under $1 million. I think the 14 games he played last year, it means that 14 of them are likely to be earned. So it's going to come in at just under $9 million that he's going to count against the cap. So the Chiefs open up $5 million of cap space. Still got to count the $7 million of the prorated $21 million signing bonus from the last contract. So they're grabbing themselves in the neighborhood of $5 million, a little more than $5 million in cap space. And I got to be honest with you, it's not very often that a player takes less and actually gives a hometown discount. Certainly not just flat out takes less. There's no like, okay, he's getting less this year, but there's two more years onto the deal. That's what I thought it would take to get this deal done. Instead, Brett Veach and the Kansas City Chiefs are able to get this deal done really with you know, just getting a guy to take less. You just don't see it. So this is truly a case where a player wanted to be a Kansas City Chief. And I think it's unreal. Some of the numbers on the deal, 8 touchdowns. And the team making the playoffs, he gets $750,000, 65 catches. And the playoffs, $750,000, 800 receiving yards. And the playoffs, $750,000. Those numbers go to $1.25 million for the catches and the yards if they go to the AFC Championship game. There's also $1.25 million if the team wins the AFC Championship game. And he plays 50% of the snaps. This is very much an incentive-laden deal that can take it up to where he would make upwards of $2 million more than what he was scheduled to get this year. So he's taking a cut, but he can make it all back and get more. You view that however you want. If you want to say, well, you know, he can still make even more. Listen, guaranteed money is what it's all about, and he is guaranteed less money on this deal as the season begins. I think that is huge, and I think if you want to look for a guy that clearly said, I want to be in Kansas City, it's Sammy Watkins. Could he have gotten $10 million per year on the open market for 3 years? Maybe. Would it have been more like 3 for 24, 2 for 18, maybe 2 for 20? I think he warrants a Robbie Anderson deal. I know a lot of people like Robbie Anderson, but he hasn't really done anything. Watkins hasn't, you know, blown up the way you would have thought he was by being a number 4 overall pick in a draft, but he's at least had 1,000 yards. He's made big plays in big games. I think this is tremendous for the Kansas City Chiefs to get this deal done. I'm assuming now, even though Spotrac shows them coming up a little bit short of being able to have their draft class, I'm sure it's just contract numbers they don't have, and this puts them in position to be able to have their draft and continue to hold Chris Jones with the franchise tag. And I think it does a number of different things, guys. Number one, it keeps this offense revved and ready to go. You now, again, just pick your poison and how you want to try to defend the Kansas City Chiefs offense. So I think that's an important part of the equation. I think it also makes a statement, and the reason you do it now is if you're getting trade offers, or if when you're talking trade, which no doubt I'm sure teams right now are doing their due diligence and feeling out where clubs are with their draft picks, and so you're getting a feel for all kinds of players that are probably gettable right now on the trade market. While you're doing that, if, you know, Chris Jones' name was coming up and people were saying, well, listen, we know you can't even make your draft right now. You're going to have to cut somebody, and we'll wait till you do that before we get serious with any offers. Somebody wants to blow you away and solve your cap riddle right now, fine. They can do it, but it ain't going to be us. Well, there's no cap riddle to be solved right now. My assumption is that this now puts them in position to where they can have their draft and get everything done right now. All right, so I think it does give them a little bit more, I don't want to say leverage, but a better ground to stand on in trade talks for Chris Jones, if indeed there are talks going on with Chris Jones. It also gives them more flexibility now for any other signings that they might want to make. And then ultimately we get to it and we say, number one, is this the right move? Because he's still not cheap, right? He's still going to count like $16 million against the cap, even though he's only going to pocket $8 million with a likely to be earned $9 million, roughly $9 million total. Was this the right move for the Chiefs, or should they have been moving on from a guy who's only played 16 games once in his career, and they've got a depth of other receiving targets? I think that's a question that needs to be asked. And then what does it mean for Chris Jones? Now, does this mean, I set up that I believe it gives him a better ground to stand on in trade talks, because if you wanted to try to play hardball with him and say, well, listen, you got to do something by draft night anyway, call me on draft night. Right now our offer is a lowball offer, and we'll move it up when we think that you actually have some leverage. Well, you gain some leverage there, but does this now mean that, okay, Watkins, yes, is cheaper, but they've still got work to be done. Listen, one of the things the Kansas City Chiefs have done a really good job of with Andy Reid and John Dorsey and Andy Reid and Brett Veach, the entire tenure of Andy Reid, is handle all the needs in free agency before you get to the draft. John Dorsey said it way too much, and I don't think really followed what he said all that often in the first round, but he preached best player available. You could pretty much see where he was going. Brandon Albert was in a final year. They took Eric Fisher, right? You could see they were drafting for the next year, generally speaking, a major hole that was going to be opening up. Maybe it's coincidence. I don't buy it. But I do know that he always put himself in a position where if you had to line up and play a game the night of the draft, they could line up and go. And right now the Chiefs are not in that situation, right? And part of it's because I think they went for it. They went for the Super Bowl. They went for the championship. And they got there, and everybody better remember that before any venom starts flying around towards the Chiefs' front office about any shortfall they might have. But right now they cannot line up with only three corners and say we're ready to play ball. You might be able to get through one game. You can't line up for a 16-game season and say we're ready to go. And they've done a really good job of always being able to say we've got a full team. And so now with all of our draft picks, we truly can take – the best player available. Whether they did or didn't, they went into the draft having that ability. All right. They still don't have that ability. I think it's something they'd like to have. I think it's where they'd like to be. And if they're going to get there, they've got to find some corners. So this move is either one, to give them some leverage, or it's probably for all of these reasons, to give them leverage in any Chris Jones negotiations, to give them the ability to keep Chris Jones and Sammy Watkins now on the roster and still have a draft, and or give them the ability to go out and continue to look for pieces to add in free agency, pieces that they need to field a competitive team. Really, corner is where they've got to find some help. If they're going to say, hey, we can go into the draft and not even think about a corner, all right? We can do that. That is what they've got to do. So what does it mean now? First of all, do you like the deal? Let's go around the room here, or the rooms, as it is. Soren Petro broadcasting from my house. Curtis Siebold in his house. Jed Marshall in the control room there at Sports Radio 810 WHP. Curtis, I'll start with you. Do you like the deal for the Chiefs?
I do. You talked about the cap space they've cleared. They also have, with an offseason that's been turned on its head, everyone coming back knows the offense. What's that, 10 of 11? They don't have to have any essential installs. They're free to create as they want, but everyone coming back knows what's going on from a Super Bowl winning offense. So I think that works out well for them. As we've said before, there really aren't any bad one-year deals, so this certainly isn't a bad deal for the Chiefs, and I think it certainly helps them be successful this year and clears up some space. For Watkins, it seems like he takes a little less now, but he is still making a lot of money. He's set himself up to have a huge season and postseason with Patrick Mahomes. Then he's a 27-year-old productive wideout on the open market for a normal offseason. He can make this money. Whatever money he's missing now, maybe he can make a big chunk of that down the road. I think it works out really well for the Chiefs and pretty well for Sammy Watkins in the long run.
I'll object on Watkins. I'll object on it being. I don't think this is in any way a benefit for Sammy Watkins from a bottom line. Right, it is from a I want to be here. I want to be part of this team. This is where I want to play, and this is still a lot of money. Yes. Great choice. But I think it's important. I'll continue to beat the drum that this is a bottom-line bad move for Sammy Watkins. Good move for the person, but I think it's important to point that out so that people understand that this is one of the rare times that a guy really did take less. Yeah, he can get out on the free agent market next year at 27. He's more valuable this year at 26. And he's given that up. And he could have forced their hand and said, no, it's 14, or get me on the open market. Now, I think that's a decision that was probably made soon after the parade, right? Because if I think the Chiefs would have done him a solid. This is what I've said all along. If the Chiefs are just holding on to him as a plan B and they have no intention of keeping him, they're really sticking it to Sammy Watkins because the Robbie Andersons and the other wideouts out there are sucking up the money that was in play for wide receivers. And so they're kind of sticking it to him because it's better to be out there immediately with all the dollars and all the competition for it. So I think it's important. I'll disagree with you a little bit, Curtis. I think it's important to understand that he did take less. When everyone's asking Patrick Mahomes to take less, I don't think he should. When everyone's asking Chris Jones to take less, I don't think he should. You know, you can want that. This guy did it. And he's been a polarizing figure, and rightfully so. He was given a $48 million three-year contract, a ton of money, right, to come in and play for the Kansas City Chiefs. And when it's all said and done, he's going to end up costing the Chiefs in the neighborhood of $2, $3, $4, $5 million, depending upon what he ends up making here. He's probably not going to live up to the total dollars per play. But here is a guy that helped them win a championship, no doubt. He was big in the Super Bowl. He was big in the playoffs. He was big in the Jag game when Tyreek Hill went down. You know, he disappeared at times, but there were times that he was big and played a huge role. And to me, there is a market for Sammy Watkins out there. And he ended up walking away from that market to take less money to stay in Kansas City. What at least guaranteed is less money to stay in Kansas City. I think that's an important distinction to make. I think that's an important distinction to make. But so you like it, right? You like it all around, clearly.
Yeah.
Jed, do you like the deal?
I do. I don't. I I guess I kind of have mixed emotions because I didn't think that the Chiefs would be in this position. I thought that they would end up cutting Sammy Watkins, and I would have been fine with that decision. I get Curtis's point about bringing the band back together and in the unique position that we all find ourselves in, that continuity amongst the side of the ball that you certainly are more reliant on, I don't think is a bad thing. For Sammy Watkins, though, I get your point as well, hearing that he's missing out on earning potential. But I also think that if you're Sammy Watkins and all you wanted to do was financially gain, you could have probably gone to a better situation. But I also don't think that all people are motivated by money in the same way. If you're Sammy Watkins and you want to play and win football games, you're in the best position that you can be in now.
Sure.
And I think having a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, if they were to get to, you know, the escalators in his contract, that's going to be who Sammy Watkins, because it will show that he was able to stay healthy, which I'm concerned about, but also that they had another good season. And I think we're seeing that certain guys like Kendall Fuller and others are getting probably better than market value off the Super Bowl shine. So if Sammy Watkins comes back and they do get another Super Bowl, I think it suits them all the better. So I think it's kind of a win-win for both parties.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that. And listen, if he has a big year, yes, he can still cash in. I'm not saying this is the last year he's going to make money. I'm just saying the younger you are, the more you're worth, because there's an expectation that you've got more years left in you. Let's talk about the incentives that are there. 8 touchdowns, 6, those are the incentives that are set for him with different things attached to him. I hope you don't have Sammy Watkins' numbers up in front of you, do you, Curtis?
Unfortunately, I do.
No, you suck. All right, Jed, you don't.
I would have known this anyway, probably.
No, I'm not okay. I'm not a cheater like Curtis.
Thank you, Jed.
I could have just faked it and said, no, I don't, and feigned surprise.
Yeah, and then gotten everything right. Okay, 8 touchdowns or more. How many times in a 6-year career has he had 8 touchdowns or more?
Once.
Twice. How many times with the Chiefs?
0.
0. Okay. So there's a 33% likelihood, somewhere between 0 and 33% likely to get 8 touchdowns.
He doesn't have 8 in 2 years with the Chiefs.
No, 6, 9, 2, 8, and then 3 and 3 with the Chiefs. 65 catches in 6 years. How many times has he had 65 catches, Jed?
2.
Once.
Nailed it.
And that number is his career high, and it came in his rookie year with the Buffalo Bills. 65, 60, 28, 39. With the Chiefs, 40 and 52.
Wow. And yeah, as a rookie, so, and being right at that number too, that doesn't bode well for him. I mean, I hope he gets all the incentives. It's not my money.
So there is between a 0 and 17% chance that he'll reach 65 catches. Okay, because it's never happened while with the Chiefs. And he's played both years with Patrick Mahomes. And it's only happened once in his career. So between 0 and 17%. 800 yards receiving in his career. How many times has that occurred?
Well, the smart money would be to go with once.
So once or twice, that's what we've had so far.
Yeah, so once.
Twice.
Damn.
Came in his rookie and second year. 982, 1,047, 430, 593, and then with the Chiefs, 519 and 673 yards. So, again, there's between a 0 and 33% chance. I think you could pretty much half all those. There's about a 15% chance that he gets to 800. There's about a 15% chance that he gets to 65 touchdowns. Eight touchdowns. And there is about a 5% chance that he gets to 65 catches.
Here's what's amazing. You've named 3 stats that occurred 5 times, and only one of those 5 have happened in the last 4 years, and that's the 8 touchdown catches in 2017 for the Rams. The others all happened in his first 2 seasons.
Yeah, his first 2 seasons in Buffalo. So, listen, I don't point it out to be like, oh, Watkins is a moron or the Chiefs are geniuses or vice versa. I just point it out to give you the math of you know, when you hear about these parts in his contract. That's why none of those count as likely to be earned. It's also why they wanted those numbers. Hey, here it is. You can get there, but we don't want to have to pay for it on the cap. By the way, if he would play 0 games, if he get hurt in training camp, the Chiefs would get 62.5 times 14 back against next year's cap, which a quick calculator tells me 875,000 they would get as a rollover on next year's cap. They basically would be paying for it this year and not use it, and therefore would go against next year. So, listen, I think this is a great deal for the Chiefs. If you want Sammy Watkins back, it's a great deal. And I don't know why you wouldn't want him. I think he's a good football player. He may not be a great football player, but he is a good football player. And then I think that the questions now are, what does it mean for Chris Jones, right? That to me is, what does this mean for Chris Jones and their ability to get defensive backs? That is, to me, the biggest question that's there. 913-3810-810, the phone number. 913-3810-810. We'll talk more about this. We've got a lot to talk about. Danny Klinkscale will be with us. Little Danny Unleashed, brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. That's coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. Two-minute drill. We'll go around the country, make some stops, talk to the people covering the stories of the day, where they are happening. Adam Teicher in. We'll talk Watkins and Jones with Adam Teicher in the 4 o'clock hour. And then some hoops. Jared Sutton. We haven't talked to Jared for a long, long time. I think it might be all the way back to maybe last draft time. It's been a long time since we've talked with Jared Sutton. We will bring him in, and we will talk about kind of look ahead to next year and talk a little draft, some draft prospectus for the KU kids, the Mizzou kids that declared. Cartier Jada leaving K-State. What do we think about the schools for next year? We'll do that with Jared Sutton in the 5 o'clock hour. But we start with Chiefs football. 913-3810-810. Sammy Watkins is a Chief for at least one more year. Your thoughts, your reaction to that? We'll take it right now. 913-3810-810. You can hit me up on the Twitter. It's at Soren Petro, SorenPetro. And, of course, we always take your phone calls on the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting, K-State, Missouri, KU. Always a topic here in the program. 913-3810-810.
The program with Soren Petro.
All of us owe a tremendous debt to this man's towering intellect.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you here in the program. Thanks for joining us here today. We got a lot to get to. 913-3810-810, the phone number. Taking your reaction. Sammy Watkins is a Chief for at least one more year. We'll get your thoughts on that subject. 913-3810-810. Danny Unleashed coming up. We'll get Danny's thoughts on that. Right now, let's go to the phones. Tommy Moe waiting patiently. You're in the program, Tommy. What's up, buddy?
Not much. I am just totally shocked that Sammy Watkins, if you had to line up all the Chiefs' high-priced players that were up for a free agency or up for a new contract, he would be down the bottom that I would ever thought that would take any sort of hometown discount. As much as we talked about Patrick Mahomes, which he shouldn't, which is Chris Jones, he shouldn't. This is the guy. I guess he's just kind of introverted, and I give him all the credit in the world for saying, hey, I've made a lot of money. I want to play on this team. I want to show what I can do this year, kind of going against you or what Curtis was saying about, let me prove it this year. But he did take a discount, and I'm just totally shocked that Sammy Watkins took a discount, and I give that guy all the credit in the world, and I have not been a big fan of his. As I said 2 days ago, I thought Byron Pringle would step in and maybe take his role along with Mecole Hardman, but Sammy Watkins taking a hometown discount, I guess he didn't want to be with four teams in 7 years and say, hey, what's wrong with this guy? Because if you're playing with four teams in a seven-year career in your first 7 years, people are probably looking at you like, I don't know if this guy's really worth it, but I give him all the credit in the world.
I'm with you, and I think that needs to be understood and pointed out by Chiefs fans that that's what this guy did. And listen, what does it tell you they think of him?
I'm sorry?
What does it tell you that the Chiefs think of him?
A lot of him, and I'll tell you something. I watched the parade, and the only interaction that I was really interested in, everybody was drinking and having a good time and yelling and screaming. I might have been watching Channel 41's coverage of it. After the parade was over with and everybody's walking off the stage, Brett Veach and Sammy Watkins, they weren't having a high-five kind of celebration. Sammy Watkins was not pointing at him, but just they were having a very serious discussion. And you knew what it was about. Like, you know, I was hoping to say, hey, I want to stay on this team. Let's do whatever it takes to make me stay on this team. And here we go 2 months after the parade, a little less than 2 months, Brett Veach and him sat down. as two grown men, two grown millionaires, saying, hey, we're going to work this out, and here's an option for you to make $16 million this year, but you got to have a great year. So I think, and like I said, I'm still shocked. I cannot believe Sammy Watkins took a hometown discount. And like I said, the guy's quiet. He doesn't say a lot. And what he's done, I would give him a C for his performance during the regular season the last 2 years. I would give him an A for his postseason success over the last 2 years. So here we sit with Sammy Watkins and our pretty much our whole offense and, you know, 90% of the team coming back. Now, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, Sherman. I'm sure you've talked about, you know, shakeup sometimes a good thing. But in the culture we're living at, maybe this is a good thing to keep the band together because we don't know what's going to go on for the next 2 months.
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, all those things you just said, and thank you for the call, Tommy. I appreciate it. I mean, I do worry about I think it's important to have some guys that are hungry, right? And, you know, we've talked about the parallels. At least a lot was talked about last year, like, hey, is this going to parallel the Royals with, like, the 14 and 15? Hey, 14, they got so close, 15, they won. Is it going to parallel that? Well, it did, right, as far as, you know, if you want to say the AFC Championship game loss was like losing the World Series. It has, and the Royals weren't hungry in 16. You know, they brought pretty much the whole band back together. And so I think there is an element of that. I think the quarterback having that in place makes it easier. I think once you get into the game, you know, the juices get flowing, and you want to go out and win. And so I think it might be easier to run it back in football, which is more of just a build to one day. And bring it all together as opposed to the grind of the baseball season. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's a legitimate question and one that will only be answered when they take the field. 913-3810-810. Let's go to Lance. You're in the program, Lance. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, hope you guys are having a good one in these difficult times.
Same to you.
I don't have a ton on, you know, Tommy Mell covered a lot of it, so I'll try not to cover the same territory, you know. A great deal for the Chiefs. I wonder, I guess, maybe here's a question that I wasn't going to ask, put it out there, but if we didn't have the coronavirus or COVID-19, you know, and a shortened season, a shortened of it, a potential really short of it time to prepare, if they would have looked for another receiver, or if maybe they're looking and saying, hey, let's bring the offense back together. This is a complex offense. It's difficult to get people involved and trained up in a year. Let's bring Sammy back for a year, draft a receiver, and then go on to a new plan the next year. And I also wonder along those same lines, I know you guys have talked a lot about, you know, average turnover being 7 for, I believe, a Super Bowl team. I wonder why that's going to be different for the Chiefs. So kind of twisted it up a little bit based on Tommy Moe covering that area I was going to cover.
Yeah, no, but I think
thoughts on those.
Yeah, I think those are good points. You did a good job, by the way, of changing on the fly. Thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it, Lance. I mean, right now you talk about what the normal change is, and we've mentioned it's like 7-8 guys are usually what's changing on your from your depth chart. So Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins back. Eric Fisher back. Left guard's going to be new. Because Stefan Wisniewski is gone. Center's back, right guard's back now. Right now, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif's still there. Right tackle, tight end, quarterback, number one running back, and your fullback if you get there. There's only going to be one change on the offensive line, and that's going to be at left guard, whether that's Mike Remmers or Sanad or Wiley stepping back in, whatever, there'll be one change. Defense, Okafor at one defensive end, Frank Clark at the other. That's pretty much the same. I know Okafor went down. Chris Jones still remains to be seen, but right now he's on the roster. Derek Nnadi's back. At linebacker, Damian Wilson, Anthony Hitchens are the same. The other linebacker is going to be new. You know, so the third one will be new. So that's a second. Charvarius Ward at one corner, and right now it's Rashad Fenton. That's one change at corner. Thornhill and Matthew are back, and you probably are looking at Sorensen as the other one. So only three players different. That'll be less. And look, if the Chiefs ramble off a 15-1 or 14-2 season and win the Super Bowl again, it's going to be pointed to the fact that they didn't have the turnover. They didn't have the change. Now, the question will then be, do they crash hard the next year, right, because they've blown up the cap for the future by keeping Sammy Watkins, and they get Chris Jones, and it means that and then the big contract of Patrick Mahomes starts to take in effect, and then after next year, gone is Sammy Watkins, gone is Damian Williams, gone is Anthony Hitchens, gone is you know, Tyrann Mathieu and a cap cut because they just can't afford him. Does all that happen all at once? One of the tackles are gone, something like that. We'll see. But, I listen, you know, I do think the norm is 7 or 8. I think that's what the league does. It doesn't mean you have to do it. That wasn't – when I made that statement, it's just like, listen, this is what the turnover's been of recent Super Bowl teams. It doesn't mean you have to do it to be successful again. And as we know, no one's repeated as Super Bowl champs since the Patriots did back in 2003 and 4. 913-3-810-810. Let's talk to Ron. You're in the program, Ron. What's going on?
Well, I'll tell you, I have a very simple mind, and I need something explained to me. So that's why I called. You can explain it. They go from a salary cap where somebody said last week they had $120 left or $200.
177 was the report.
Okay, and then they turn around and they sign Sammy Watkins for whatever, and it frees up $5 million.
Right.
Can you explain all this to me? I don't get it. It's beyond me. I'll listen off the air. Thanks.
All right. Yeah, I appreciate it. And I'll tell you a couple of good places. A lot of guys in the industry like Over the Cap more than Spotrac. Two websites you can go to, overthecap.com and spotrac.com. I like Spotrac from a standpoint. Like Over the Cap is considered, I will tell you, in this industry to be more correct, but quicker to getting the right numbers. Up on the site. Spotrac, though, I will tell you, is much easier to read. It's a much more user-friendly type of site. And they break all this stuff down. And what basically happened was Sammy Watkins was going to count $21 million against the Chiefs cap. That $21 million was $14 million in actual salary. And then when he signed the deal 2 years ago, he got a $21 million signing bonus. And how signing bonuses count against the cap are you take the total – and you divide it by the years of the contract, right? So in Watkins' case, $21 million, three-year contract, $7 million a year, that's going to count. So it's a way to give a guy more money up front, but have it count, you know, perhaps more later. So every year of his contract, 7, 7, and 7 of the cap amount, not money he's put in his pocket. He's already put the $21 million in his pocket. But that 7, 7, and 7 goes on each year of his contract towards what his cap hit is. And then his salary, it makes up what he actually gets paid each year. And you take what that year's salary is plus the cap hit that he's taking. So what happened was in 2018, he got paid about $800,000 in salary, but he got a $21 million bonus. So here's $21 million. But then his, for our terms, his twice a month paycheck or every 2 week paycheck added up to $800,000. So we counted $7.8 million that year against the cap. Last year he had basically $12 million in salary, okay, that he got paid every 2 weeks, and he got $7 million. Really, it comes out generally speaking every game, but he got $12 million, and then that $7 million that hit from the signing bonus. So we counted $19 million. This year he was due just short of $14 million. And basically call it 14 even, and the $7 million, he was going to count $21 million. By signing a new deal, the Chiefs pay him what he's owed, right, what his new salary is, but you can never get out from under. You don't get to wipe away the prorated, what it's called, the last portion of that signing bonus you still have to take against the cap. So this year he's going to count the $7 million in the old signing bonus plus what his salary is for this year, which comes to about $9 million when you add in the bonuses that are, quote, likely to be earned. But just in your head, think of it as $9 million. So 9 plus 7 is $16 million. He was going to count the 14 plus 7, which is $21 million. So the Chiefs have opened up $5 million in cap space. All right, that's how it works. That signing bonus gets prorated out. The only money that really matters for the players is the guaranteed money, and the signing bonus is obviously guaranteed because they get it at signing. They usually get it. Sometimes signing bonuses get prorated out as well. But that's how the Chiefs are able to carve out $5 million, is because they brought down this year's salary. They tore up the old contract, so they take the hit for $7 million that they had to take. You always have to take it all. And then his new amount that he's being paid is $9 million. That's how they cleared up the $5 million in cap space. 913-3-810-810. More of your phone calls next here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
Yeah, Mo, that team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Sammy Watkins is a Kansas City Chief. What will it mean? So far, everybody on board with the signing. 913-810-810. Let's go to Tim. You're next in line, Tim. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Saran. Good talking to you.
Same.
I consider you the capologist big time, and I'm not even going to pretend to know what you know. But can I ask you a question about Sammy Watkins' cap, please?
Yes.
The incentives that he's going to get, supposedly up to $16,000 from nine that he's giving now, can that
$16 million, up to $16 million. With the base, he can take that money all the way up to $16 million.
Can that be prorated or sent to the next cap level the following year instead of paying him at the end of the season?
Yes, so that's how that's going to work. That's why the likely to earn, that's why we went over the numbers that he's got. They don't have to count that $1.25 million for 800 and the AFC Championship game, the $1.25 million for 800 or for 65 in the AFC Championship game, you know, 50% of the snaps in the AFC Championship game. First of all, just by making it with the AFC Championship game makes it unlikely to be earned, right? That part right there. Then there's the playoff part. Giving him those same numbers that he has to get to. There's that part of it I don't know if playoffs, you know, eight touchdowns, team makes the playoffs, he gets $750,000. I don't know if the playoff part would make it likely to be earned or not. But basically, your rule of thumb of what is likely to be earned is, did he do it last year? Right, because that was a loophole teams found, was that like, okay, we're only going to give him $6 million, but we're going to give him another $8 million if he gets two touchdowns. Well, if he had two touchdowns last year, the league went, wait a minute. If he did it last year, then it's likely to be earned, and you have to count it. And then if you don't end up using it because he doesn't get there, we roll it into next year. So that's my point, that the $875,000 and the per-game bonus of $62,500 likely to be earned is 14 games because he played 14 last year. If he doesn't play it, they'll roll that into next year. All these other ones that we're talking about are not likely to be earned. And so if he gets there and goes all the way to $16 million, they're going to have $7 million of Sammy Watkins this year counting against next year's cap.
Hey, one more thought, too, before you get off this. On DeMarcus Robinson and Sammy, do you think their situation is unique to the Kansas City offense, and that's why teams are kind of staying away from them, because they know that if they put them on their team with their offense and quarterback, they may not be as productive, and they don't want to overpay for that type of style?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. I think teams, and that's a good question, Tim, and thank you for the call. I think teams are wise to the fact that it's the quarterback that makes the receiver, much more so than the receiver makes the quarterback. I mean, pretty much any play that you have Patrick Mahomes, you know, rolling out away from pressure, you know, he bought that extra time. That's time Tom Brady's not giving a receiver. So any catch anybody gets with Patrick Mahomes on the run is a catch they wouldn't have had with Tom Brady. And so, yes, absolutely. There's no doubt that every receiver on the Kansas City Chiefs is better because they play with Patrick Mahomes. They're aware of it. The receiver's aware of it. And so are the teams. 913-810-810. Keith, you're in the program. What's up, Keith?
Oh, man, I'm just so stoked. Saran, this is so awesome. Never, I don't think, and really in the history of the league, because of the situation we're in with this terrible coronavirus, is continuity going to be as rewarded as it's going to be this year? And the fact that we're the Super Bowl champions and we became so good, both on offense and defense, is going to be absolutely incredible. And it's the players that essentially are going into their second year within the program. And I'm talking about guys that are going to be on the roster that aren't going to be starting, the Brian Pringles, Marcus Kemps, the guys that played on the defense that didn't necessarily start, Tano Passanio, Derek Nnadi, Colin Sanders. These guys are going to be even that much better, this being essentially, quote-unquote, their sophomore year underneath the new defense. And they've already the install is already in. Everybody understands the calls. Everybody understands the concepts and the schemes. Everybody understands the reads and the checks, both sides of the ball. And it's literally a force multiplier where, you know, the old saying, the sum is greater, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And it's a win-win for everything. Sammy Watkins already made quite a bit of money on his second contract. This was going to be, you know, quote-unquote, a third or an adjusted contract. He's made a bunch of money, and he has realized that, oh, by the way, with all these hot shot rookies are going to be coming in. This is a bad year to be a receiver on the open market, combined with the situation with there's going to be difficulty getting installs and everything because there's not going to be OTAs. And he's like, man, I like where I'm at. And it's a mature thing to say, you know what? I'm going to go. I got a good chance to win a second Super Bowl right here and really solidify myself. I understand the offense finally for the first time. The light really went off for him, I think, late in the second half, late in the season. And all these receivers are going to be that much better with Mahomes, with the continuity they've got. And, I mean, I think if you look at this from a game's advantage, having this offense stay together like this, and particularly this year in this situation, is probably worth two or three games. And on the defense, having this continuity could be worth one or two games. Split it down the middle, we're looking at maybe three or four games advantage for the Chiefs as an entire team, just due to continuity being the returning Super Bowl champions, with both sides of the ball being as good as they were. And oh, by the way, okay, so we got to fill in cornerbacks. Great. You got such a great combination of safeties with Matthew, and from everything we're hearing, our rookie last year, I'm losing
Thornhill
right now. Thornhill, he knows he's going to be coming back probably good and strong. And granted, he's coming off an ACL, but he knows what he's doing from a call standpoint and a read standpoint. So we can go into the draft and say, great, we're going to go draft cornerbacks, and we're going to play a lot of man up, and we're going to go. And oh, by the way, they're going to have phenomenal safety surrounding them, behind them, helping them with the calls and the reads. So we're going to go out and draft two or three or four cornerbacks. Go for it. We don't need a whole lot else to fill in. And I mean, we're locked and cocked to go make another Super Bowl run.
Well, I agree with that, Keith. And thank you for the call, buddy. I appreciate it, and I share your enthusiasm. This is largely going to be the same team coming back that has gone 28-9 over the last 2 years, 15-4 last year, three playoff wins added to the 12-4 regular season. Year before, 13-5. This team's gone 28-9 in 2 years. Now, I will say this: going into the 2018 season, everybody was 2 years younger. You don't worry about that with Mahomes. You don't really worry about it with Tyreek Hill, although it is more hits. Patrick Mahomes has now, sprained his ankle three times and had his kneecap displaced. I mean, physically, he's not as good as he was 2 years ago. That's a fact, okay? Maybe I should back off that. Maybe with training and workout regimens, maybe he can maintain or maybe even be slightly better. But sometime in the very near future, all the pounding – takes a toll. It takes a toll on every player. Now, they can become smarter and make up for it. And by the way, Patrick Mahomes has so much arm talent, he can lose in other spots. And if you listen to him when he was on the Shop, LeBron James show, and he talked about how much more he feels like he has to learn. So as he gets smarter and smarter and better at the offense, then, there's still upside for him to get better. I'm not saying he can't get better as a quarterback, but I'm saying physically, these injuries take a toll, and that's true of everybody on the roster. But, the Chiefs were the team, and they've lost Kareem Hunt, but just a couple of years ago, they were the one team that had three guys under 25 that were considered the top 20 under 25. They had Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill, and Chris Jones. Well, Kareem Hunt left, but Patrick Mahomes came to the team. So they were still the only team that had three of the top 20 under 25, and that resulted in a conference championship game appearance and a Super Bowl win. And you're reaping the rewards of that. Now, here's what I will say. One day it's going to be 2026, okay, and you're going to want a good team. 2024 even, 2023, 22 are going to be years that you want to be good. And so when we talk about, we just got to go get some corners. I will say that it's not ideal to go into a draft and have to draft a position, okay? And so that is one of the problems. Yes, if you've got a veteran group that still can play at a high level and you got two safeties that can tell them where to go, that's the best situation to bring in a bunch of young corners. But if there's a run on corners and at 32 you're taking the seventh best corner in this draft, that's not ideal. We do need to understand that. That's not ideal. 913-810-810, Bob, you're in the program. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Saran, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I'm actually against the Sammy Watkins, as far as, signing. The reason why I say that is because he averages 50 to 55 catches a year. He only averages 3 to 4 touchdowns a year. I think if they would wait until the July 1st cutdowns, I think they could get somebody else that gets those average numbers, and they could have got him, for $3 or $4 million. I think a guy that they should have picked up was the ex-Dallas Cowboy. What's his name? name? I forgot. You know, who wants to come back in the league after he was hurt? And then he set out for a year and he came
Dez
back.
Dez Bryant?
Yeah, Dez Bryant. I think Dez Bryant would have signed for $2 million just to play with.
I think Dez Bryant can't play, or Dez Bryant would have been in the league last year.
Well, he sat out because he was hurt. But I think after he sat out, I think, you know, he's going to put up semi numbers. You know, I guarantee you guys write it down. Sammy Watkins is an average player. It's on the back of his, you know, card. You know, you can see on it. He's just an average player.
Well, I won't argue, Bob. I think you make a great point. It's always good to hear from you, buddy. Stay healthy, my friend. And thanks for giving us a call. Bob, I won't argue that his production has been average. And you know, that's probably the best way to put it. Overall, he's been an average wide receiver for his career. His ability is higher. And while he doesn't bring it every game, when he does bring it, which for 2 years has always been in the playoffs, he makes a difference. And so, yes, at the end of the year, it's average production, but he's not average ability. And the Chiefs have been able to get that well above average ability out of him at the most important times.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question, sponsored by Good Sense, chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense, not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, how many Chiefs have had multiple 100-yard receiving games by Good Sense?